Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Trinadipi Sunichena, Taradiva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namaiva Kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatir anyata. Tonight, we start our first webcast for the year 2013. Until further notice, the home webcast will be at this time every Wednesday, 5 p.m. Los Angeles time. And we will continue with Krishna book, then a concert, and then a reading from the Govinda Lilamrita. Tonight, we're going to finish the chapter entitled The Deliverance of Lord Shiva. This is part 4 of this chapter, and it is entitled Vrikasura. As for the benedictions given by demigods like Lord Shiva, there is the following historical incident cited by great sages. Once, Lord Shiva, after giving a benediction to a demon named Vrikasura, the son of Shakuni, Lord Shiva was himself entrapped in a very dangerous position. Vrikasura was searching after a benediction and trying to decide which of the three presiding deities to worship in order to get it. In the meantime, he happened to meet the great sage Narada and consulted with him as to whom he should approach in order to achieve the quick results from his austerity. He inquired, "Of the three deities, namely Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, who is most quickly satisfied?" Narada could understand the plan of the demon, and he advised him, "You had better worship Lord Shiva. Then you will quickly get the desired result." Lord Shiva is very quickly satisfied and very quickly dissatisfied also. So you should try to satisfy Lord Shiva. Narada also cited instances wherein demons like Ravan and Banasura were enriched with great opulences simply by satisfying Lord Shiva with prayers. Because the great sage Narada was aware of the nature of the demon Vrikasura, he did not advise him to approach Vishnu or Lord Brahma. Persons such as Vrikasura, who are situated in the material mode of ignorance, cannot stick to the worship of Vishnu. After receiving instruction from Narada, the demon Vrikasura went to Kedarnath, the pilgrimage site of Kedarnath, still exists near Kashmir, and it is almost always covered by snow. But for part of the year, during the month of July, it is possible to see the deity, and devotees go there to offer their respects. Kedaranath is for the devotees of Lord Shiva. According to the Vedic principle, when something is offered to the deities to eat, it is offered in fire. Therefore, a fire sacrifice is necessary in all sorts of ceremonies. It is specifically stated in the Vedic Shastras that gods are to be offered something to eat through fire. The demon Vrikasura therefore went to Kedaranath and ignited a sacrificial fire to please Lord Shiva. After igniting the fire in the name of Shiva, he began to offer his own flesh by cutting it from his body to please Lord Shiva. Srila Prabhupada now comments for us. Here is an instance of worship in the mode of ignorance. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Aharastvapi sarvasya trividho bhavati priya yagyastapastata danam teshang vedam imang shrinu. Different types of sacrifice are mentioned. Some sacrifices are in the mode of ignorance, some are in the mode of passion, and some are in the mode of goodness. There are different kinds of tapasya and worship because there are different kinds of people within this world. But the ultimate tapasya, Krishna consciousness, is the topmost yoga and the topmost sacrifice. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham mad gatain antar atmana shraddhavan bhajate yomang same yukta tamo mataha. The topmost yoga is to think always of Lord Krishna within the heart, and the topmost sacrifice is to perform sankirtan yajna. In the Bhagavad Gita also it is stated, Kamaistais tire rita jnana prapadyante anyadevata tang tang niyamam astaya prakritya niyata svaya. Worshippers of demigods have lost their intelligence. As revealed later in this chapter, Vrikasura wanted to satisfy Lord Shiva for a third-class materialistic objective, which was temporary and without real benefit. The asuras, or persons within the mode of ignorance, will accept such benedictions from the demigods. In complete contrast to this sacrifice in the mode of ignorance, the archana vidhi process for worshipping Lord Vishnu or Krishna is very simple. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Patrang pushpang palang toyang yome bhaktya prayachati tad ahang bhakti paritam ashnami praya tatmanaha. Now, I would like to point out now, last night I was speaking at the yearly program that I do at the home of the Ketarpal family, and I was speaking about the concept that it is only our love and devotion that Krishna actually enjoys or relishes, or in this case, eats. Krishna is not hungry for the food that we are offering. I mentioned last night And we heard previously in our Govinda Lilamrita class how Krishna eats food which is cooked by Radharani, how Radharani is called by Mother Yashoda every morning to cook Krishna's breakfast because Radharani had received a benediction from Durvasa Muni. And so Radharani's cooking is the topmost. So Krishna is in no need of our dal, rice and chapatis. But this verse that Prabhupada just quoted from Bhagavad Gita, twice the word bhakti appears. So it is only the love and devotion that Krishna is relishing and not anything else. We continue. Prabhupada is explaining this Bhagavad Gita verse. Krishna accepts from his devotee even a little fruit, a flower, or some water, which can be gathered by any person, rich or poor. Of course, those who are rich are never expected to offer only a little water, a little piece of fruit, or a little leaf to the Lord. A rich man should offer according to his position. But if the devotee happens to be a very poor man, the Lord will accept even the most meager offering. The worship of Lord Vishnu or Krishna is very simple, and it can be executed by anyone in this world. But worship in the mode of ignorance, as exhibited by Brikasura, is not only very difficult and painful, but it is also a useless waste of time. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita says that the worshippers of the demigods are bereft of intelligence. Their process of worship is very difficult, and at the same time, the result obtained is flickering and temporary. Although Vrikasura continued his sacrifice for 6 days, he was unable to personally see Lord Shiva, which was his objective. He wanted to see Lord Shiva face to face and ask him for a benediction. Prabhupada here makes a comment. Here is another contrast between a demon and a devotee. A devotee is confident that whatever one offers to the deity in full devotional service is accepted by the Lord. But a demon wants to see one's worshipable deity face to face in order that he or she can directly take the benediction. A devotee does not worship Vishnu or Lord Krishna for any benediction. That is why a devotee is called a kama, free of desire. And a non-devotee is called sarvakama, or desirous of everything. On the seventh day, the demon Vrikasura decided that he should cut off his head and offer it to satisfy Lord Shiva. Thus, he took bath in a nearby lake, and without even drying his body and hair, prepared to cut off his head. According to the Vedic system, an animal to be offered as sacrifice has to be bathed first, and while the animal is wet, it is sacrificed. When the demon was thus preparing to cut off his own head, Lord Shiva became very compassionate. Prabhupada now comments here. This compassion is a symptom of the quality of goodness. Lord Shiva is called Trilinga, a mixture of the three material qualities. Therefore, his manifestation of the nature of compassion is a sign of the quality of goodness. This compassion, however, is present in every living entity. The compassion of Lord Shiva was aroused not because the demon was offering his flesh into the sacrificial fire, but because he was about to commit suicide. This is natural compassion. Even if a common man sees someone preparing to commit suicide, he will try to save that person. He does so automatically. There is no need to appeal to one. Therefore, when Lord Shiva appeared from the fire to check the demon from suicide, it was not as a very great favor to him. Lord Shiva's touch saved the demon from committing suicide. His bodily injuries immediately healed, and his body became as it was before. Then Lord Shiva told the demon, "My dear Brikasura, you do not need to cut off your head. You may ask from me any benediction you like, and I shall fulfill your desire. I do not know why you wanted to cut off your own head to satisfy me. I become satisfied even by offering a little water." Prabhupada now comments, "Actually, according to the Vedic process, the Shiva Linga in the temple, or the form of Lord Shiva in the temple, is worshipped simply by offering Ganges water. Because it is said, Lord Shiva is greatly satisfied when Ganges water is poured upon his head. Generally, devotees offer Ganges water and the leaves of the Bilva tree, which are especially meant for offering to Lord Shiva and Goddess Durga. The fruit of this tree is also offered to Lord Shiva." Lord Shiva assured Brikasura that he is satisfied by a very simple process of worship. Why then was he so anxious to cut off his own head? And why was he taking so much pain by cutting his body to pieces and offering it into the fire? There was no need of such severe penances. Anyway, out of compassion and sympathy, Lord Shiva prepared to give him any benediction he liked. When the demon was offered this facility by Lord Shiva, he asked for a fearful and abominable benediction. The demon was very sinful, and sinful persons do not know what sort of benediction should be asked from the deity. Therefore, he asked Lord Shiva to be blessed with such a power that as soon as he would touch anyone's head, that person's head would immediately crack and the man would die. Prabhupada comments now, "The demons are described in Bhagavad Gita as duskritis, or miscreants. Kriti means very meritorious, and when the affix du is added, it means abominable. Instead of surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the duskritis worship different demigods in order to derive abominable material benefits. Although the Duskritis have brain power and merit, their merit and brain power are used for abominable activities. Sometimes, for example, materialistic scientists invent a lethal weapon. The scientific research for such an invention certainly requires a very good brain. But instead of inventing something beneficial to human society, they invent something to accelerate death, which is already assured to every man. They cannot show their meritorious power by inventing something which can save men from death, but instead they invent weapons which accelerate the process of death. Similarly, Vrikasura, instead of asking Lord Shiva for something beneficial to human society, Vrikasura asks for something very dangerous to human society. Lord Shiva is powerful enough to give any benediction, so the demon could have asked something beneficial from him. But for his personal interest, he asked that anyone whose head would be touched by his hand would at once die. Lord Shiva could understand the motive of the demon, and he was very sorry that he had assured him whatever benediction he liked. And so he could not withdraw his promise, and he was very sorry in his heart. He was sorry that he was to offer him a benediction so dangerous to human society. Devotees of the Personality of Godhead never ask any benediction from Lord Vishnu or Krishna, and even if they ask something from the Lord, it is not at all dangerous for human society. That is the difference between demons and devotees, or worshippers of Lord Shiva and worshippers of Lord Vishnu. While Shukadeva Goswami was thus narrating the history of Vrikasura, he addressed Maharaj Parikshit as Bharata, referring to King Parikshit's birth in a family of devotees. Maharaj Parikshit was saved by Lord Krishna while in his mother's womb. Later, he could have asked Lord Krishna to save him again from the curse of the Brahman, but he did not do so. The demon, however, wanted to become immortal by killing everyone with the touch of his hand. Lord Shiva could understand this, and because he had promised, he gave him the benediction. The demon, however, being very sinful, immediately decided that he would use the benediction to kill Lord Shiva and take away Gauri or Parvati for his personal enjoyment. Vrikasura immediately decided to place his hand on the head of Lord Shiva. Thus, Lord Shiva was put into an awkward position because he was endangered by his own benediction to a demon. This is an instance of a materialistic devotee's misusing the power derived from the demigods. Without further deliberation, the demon Vrikasura approached Lord Shiva in order to place his hand on Lord Shiva's head. Lord Shiva was so afraid of him that his body trembled, and he fled from the land to the sky, and from the sky to other planets, until he reached the limits of the universe, above the higher planetary systems. Lord Shiva fled from one place to another, but the demon Vrikasura continued to chase him. The predominating deity of other planets, such as Brahma, Indra, and Chandra, could not find any way to save Lord Shiva from the impending danger. Wherever Lord Shiva went, they remained silent. At last, Lord Shiva approached Lord Vishnu, who is situated within this universe on the planet known as Shvetadvip. Shvetadvip is the local Vaikuntha planet beyond the jurisdiction of the influence of the external energy. Lord Vishnu, in his all-pervasive feature, remains everywhere. But wherever he remains personally is the Vaikuntha atmosphere. Srila Prabhupada now comments. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Yo yo yang yang tanung bhakta sraddhayarchitum itchati tasya tasya chalang shraddhang tam eva vididham yaham tesham evanukam pardam aham agyana jang tama nashayam yatma bhavasto jnana deepena vaspata aham atma gudakesha sarva bhutashaya stita aham adishcha madhyamcha bhutanam anta evacha jyotisham apitaj jyotis tamasa param uchite jnanam jayam jnana gamyam hridi sarvasya vishkitam sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mata smritir jnanam apohanamcha vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyo vedanta krid veda vid eva chaham ishvara sarva bhutanam hridyeshe arjuntishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. So what I did there, I just quoted for you the verses within the Bhagavad Gita where it is stated that Krishna is the super soul dwelling within the heart. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses I found in Bhagavad Gita which state that Krishna is the super soul within the heart. The Lord remains within the hearts of all living entities. As such, the Lord remains within the heart of many low-born living entities. But that does not mean that the Lord is low-born. Wherever He remains is transformed into Vaikuntha. So the planet within this universe, known as Shvetadvip, is also Vaikuntha Loka. It is said in the Vedic Shastras that residential quarters within the forest are in the mode of goodness. Residential quarters in big cities, towns, and villages are in the mode of passion. And residential quarters in an atmosphere wherein indulgence of the four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating and gambling predominate, are in the mode of ignorance. That last part, where Prabhupada says indulgence in the four sinful activities, those quarters are in the mode of ignorance. That is why I've preached for so many years that the city of Las Vegas is the capital of Kali, or in this case, the capital of Tamogun, the mode of ignorance, because in that sinful city of Las Vegas, these four things are very prominent. Residential quarters in a temple of Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, are in Vaikuntha. It doesn't matter where the temple is situated. The temple itself, wherever it may be, is Vaikuntha. Similarly, the Shweta Dweep planet, although within the material jurisdiction, is Vaikuntha. Lord Shiva finally entered Shweta Dweep Vaikuntha. In Shweta Dweep, there are great saintly persons who are completely freed from the envious nature of the material world and are beyond the jurisdiction of the four principles of material activity, namely religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Anyone who enters into that Vaikuntha planet never returns to this material world. Lord Narayan is celebrated as a lover of his devotees, and as soon as he understood that Lord Shiva was in great danger, he appeared as a brahmachari and personally approached Lord Shiva to receive him from a distant place. The Lord appeared as a perfect brahmachari, with a belt around his waist, a sacred thread, a deerskin, a brahmachari stick, and Raudra beads. Prabhupada comments, Raudra beads are different from Tulasi beads. Raudra beads are used by the devotees of Lord Shiva. Dressed as a brahmachari, Lord Narayan stood before Lord Shiva. The shining effulgence emanating from his body attracted not only Lord Shiva, but also the demon Brakasura. Lord Narayan offered his respects and obeisances unto Brakasura just to attract his sympathy and attention. Thus stopping the demon, the Lord addressed him as follows. My dear son of Shakuni, you appear very tired, as if coming from a very distant place. What is your purpose? Why have you come so far? I see that you are fatigued, so I request you to take a little rest. You should not unnecessarily tire your body. Everyone greatly values his or her body, because it is with this body only that one can fulfill all the desires within one's mind. We should not, therefore, unnecessarily give trouble to this body. Prabhupada now comments. The brahmachari addressed Brakasura as the son of Shakuni, just to convince him that he was known to his father, Shakuni. Brakasura then took the brahmachari to be someone known to his family, and therefore the brahmachari's sympathetic words appealed to him. Before the demon could argue that he had no time to take rest, the Lord informed him about the importance of the body, and the demon was convinced. Any man, especially a demon, takes the body to be very important. Thus, Brakasura became convinced about the importance of his body. Then, Just to pacify the demon, the brahmachari told him, "My dear Lord, if you think that you can disclose the mission for which you have taken the trouble to come here, maybe I shall be able to help you so that your purpose will be easily served." Prabhupada now comments, "Indirectly, the Lord informed Brakasura that because the Lord is the Supreme Brahman, he would certainly be able to adjust the awkward situation created by Lord Shiva." The demon was greatly pacified by the sweet words of Lord Narayan in the form of a brahmachari, and at last he disclosed all that had happened in regard to the benediction offered by Lord Shiva. The Lord replied to the demon as follows, "I myself cannot believe that Lord Shiva has in truth given you such a benediction. As far as I know, Lord Shiva is not in a sane mental condition. Since he has had a quarrel with his father-in-law Daksha, Lord Shiva has been cursed to become a ghost. Thus he has become the leader of the ghosts and hobgoblins. Therefore, I cannot put any faith in his words. But you, Vrakasura, if you still have faith in the words of Lord Shiva, my dear king of the demons, then why don't you make an experiment by putting your hand on your own head? If the benediction proves false, then you can immediately kill this liar, Lord Shiva, so that in the future he will not dare give out false benedictions." Prabhupada comments, "In this way, by Lord Narayan's sweet words, and by the expansion of his superior illusion, the demon became bewildered, and he actually forgot the power of Lord Shiva and his benediction. He was thus very easily persuaded to put his hand on his own head, and as soon as the demon did that, his head cracked as if struck by thunder, and he immediately died." The demigods from heaven showered flowers on Lord Narayan, praising him with shouts of "All glories and all thanksgiving," and they offered their obeisances to the Lord. On the death of Brakasura, all the denizens in the higher planetary systems, namely the demigods, pitris, gandharvas, and inhabitants of Janaloka, showered flowers on the personality of Godhead. Thus, Lord Vishnu, in the form of a brahmachari, released Lord Shiva from the impending danger and saved the whole situation. Lord Narayan then informed Lord Shiva that this demon Brakasura was killed as the result of his sinful activities. He was especially sinful and offensive because he wanted to experiment on his own master, Lord Shiva. Lord Narayan then told Lord Shiva, "My dear Lord, a person who commits an offense to great souls cannot continue to exist. One is vanquished by his or her own sinful activities. And this is certainly true of this demon who has committed such an offensive act against you." Thus, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who is transcendental to all material qualities, Lord Shiva was saved from being killed by a demon. Anyone who hears this history with faith and devotion is certainly liberated from material entanglement as well as from the clutches of one's enemies. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 88th chapter of Krishna entitled The Deliverance of Lord Shiva.